Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go and live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the Programs and Products page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today? Joining me, I have the one and only Annie Marges. How are you?
Welcome to the show, Annie.
Good to see you today. Hey, so for our listening audience who may not necessarily know you, Annie, can you just share who you are and any latest that's going on with you? You got some big things going on right now.
I do. Hi, everyone. I'm Annie Marges, and I am able to say that I'm a survivor of childhood incest. I'm able to say that out loud publicly because I'm trying to destroy the taboo of talking about it. Yes. Nobody wants to talk about it, wants to say the word out loud. And so that's my mission, is simply to get people talking about childhood incest.
Yes.
And the exciting thing going on is, I'll show this again. It's a box to put my novel in, and it's going to First Lady Jill Biden. And I am sending a box with a novel in it to all the women in the Congress and the Senate with a fact sheet about childhood incest and a request that they do something about it.
Nice. Well, kudos to you for doing that. And I'm sure they're going to be very, very moved and touched by your story and receiving those books as well. So that's really big of you to do that as well. So as you know, Annie, you know, the purpose of our podcast is to introduce people, our audience, to people like yourselves who's doing well today, but who's going through some challenging times, and have you talk to us about those challenging times. So I'm going to start with my first question. And it is, you know, what's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome in life, either personally or professionally?
I think my biggest obstacle was terror. I lived in terror my entire life. I was afraid of people. In my delusions on occasion, I thought the FBI was watching me, and I was afraid of the telephone, and I couldn't do anything social. I couldn't like go to birthday parties. Mm. I was able to work, but it was very painful for me to do so, but I did.
Yeah. And what was the root driving that fear? Was it the issues with childhood incest, or what was driving it?
Yes, I think so. Most of my adult life, I don't know if it was most, a lot of my adult life, I was no longer aware of what had happened to me. Mm. I developed amnesia when I had a nervous breakdown when I was in the fifth grade. Wow. So I was probably 11 then. And after that, I didn't remember anything. Wow. There was no memory of it until much later in my adulthood when a sibling started talking about it.
Wow.
And it all came back.
Wow. So, you know, and again, kudos to you for having the courage to share your story and talk about such a difficult and taboo topic. You know, sometimes it's hard to talk about, you know, when a person goes through incest and you know, you find this out later on in life, what were some of the emotions that kind of came up as you had to reflect back on this painful time in your life? What were some of the emotions you had to deal with there?
I think anger was the biggest one. And I still have anger, even though my abuser's dead. Mm-hmm. I still feel anger because he never apologized. You know, he never asked for forgiveness. He never stopped acting inappropriately.
Wow.
So I don't forgive him because I don't think you can forgive people who aren't sorry. Yeah. Some people think you can. I don't. Uh-huh.
So, you know, over the years, I mean, obviously you're a successful author. Now you've written about it, you talked about it, you go around speaking about it. Now, what were some of the coping mechanisms that you turned to kind of get yourself beyond that moment though?
The most important thing I did to get myself to where I am now is attend peer-to-peer meetings with other survivors. I did that for years. Wow. And at first I did it in person, and then we developed a phone line where you could call in. There would be other callers in there, and everybody took turns, and you would get 5 minutes to tell your story or talk about wherever you are that day. Yeah. And nobody's allowed to talk back. Nobody's allowed to comment. They just listen.
Yeah.
And that's doing that for years. First, it taught me to love the people who were abused. Yeah. Because I just loved them, and I felt so bad about what had happened to them, and I hated their abuser so much, I was eventually able to turn it on myself and say, I love myself. I'm not guilty, and I can hate my abuser too.
Yes, that's very profound. And, you know, I think about that, you know, it sounds like it was a bit of a talk therapy for you, though, you know, being able to talk about it with this group of individuals, these peer individuals as well. What did you ever receive some advice, or did you have any mentors as you were going through it? I know these were your peers, but did you have anyone else kind of guiding you through this process?
Only my peers. I did attend a couple of therapy sessions, and I never found the right fit for that. One woman actually said that I didn't need any help.
Yeah, kind of minimize that, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, what was the best piece of advice you got as you were going through your peer groups?
In my peer groups, it's not your crime. It's not your shame.
Yeah.
Not your shame. Yeah. Not my shame.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a profound enlightening statement to get out of something that was so tragic. You know, so as you look back today, how would you say this whole ordeal has kind of shaped you as a person?
Well, I feel bad about how it shaped me, because most of my life was lived in pain, because I didn't know that was why I was in pain, but that's what it was. Sure. And it's only now, perhaps, oh golly, 10 years, I suppose, that I've been, what I would say, doing better. Oh, not even 10, more like 7.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Well, kudos to you for at least getting at home for the last 7 years, because, you know, we have some folks out there who may have or known other people who have had to deal with some of the same things. And it's very important that they know that they don't necessarily have to walk around with that guilt forever and shame forever, that it can be taken off of you and things can be done differently. You know, as you've been coming out of this situation and really healing from it, and you've written a book about it and everything else, though. And again, this question is not pertaining to the incest itself, because that is a heinous act and you can't, you know, no one should ever have to suffer anything else like that. There's nothing you can do about that at all. As you look at your evolving over the years and who you are today, would you do anything differently in terms of your healing?
I probably would have continued to find a therapist that suited me. I think that might have been very helpful. Okay. I do have one now that I really like. Okay. And he keeps me, he keeps me straight. If I'm confused about something, he'll say really normal things. Yeah. And I'll go, oh, okay. Uh-huh. Things I thought of, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Annie, we're coming off of year 2020, man, where people have lost loved ones, lost possessions, lost jobs, lost hope in some situations. What advice would you give to those folks to let them know that a brighter day is to come?
A brighter day is to come, I can tell you for sure, because I was in a very dark and hopeless place for a long, long time. And I didn't see any out.
Yeah.
I didn't see people who I would call very recovered. in my peer-to-peer groups. Although now, when I think back, I can say, oh yeah, they were pretty recovered. Mm-hmm. But then others were not. And
So they can definitely get beyond it though, for sure. No matter what they went through in 2020, you can bounce back and recover from it as well. Yeah.
Yeah, they can get beyond it. It's hard, especially if they've lost someone.
Yes, absolutely. So folks out there, definitely get out there and support Annie. A great book, by the book. Annie does some speaking as well to really, really heal from the other, she calls it the ugliest word, incest, you know. And, you know, maybe you've gone through it. Maybe you know other people have gone through it. But if you do, reach out and really get the book and seek it out. Maybe it's something that can help you heal or help others heal who have gone through that process as well. So, you know, Annie, we've talked about some of the tough stuff on our show. I like to have a little fun as well. So you ready to have some fun?
Yes.
All right. Okay. This portion of our show is called the Rapid Fire Purpose Questions. All right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to simply ask you some questions about purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your best answer.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, get that sip of water there. Okay. Here we go, Annie. First question. Tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
Ah, well, here it is right here. Even when I was a little girl, I was a writer. Before I could write things down, I was writing in my head.
Wow.
I observed the world in terms of words. That's how it came to me. And I still remember some of my early poetry, which wasn't bad. It rhymed anyway.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome.
So writing a book was my long dream. That's what I wanted to do with my life, was be a writer. But it didn't work out that way, mostly because of my terror. I could never show anyone what I wrote.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. You definitely brought that dream into reality.
Yes.
Next question is, what gives your life meaning?
My work now as a speaker about the prevention of childhood incest. Look how hard it is to say.
Yeah.
Incest. That gives me purpose. I wake up every day, I've got work to do.
Absolutely.
I retired from teaching. I was a teacher. I taught adult education, not children.
Wow.
And I retired from that when I became extremely ill with fibromyalgia, which I call the incest disease, because so many people that I met in the peer-to-peer support groups have it. I think it has something to do with the way our brains were rewired or something.
Wow, that's interesting. What word best describes you?
Quirky.
Quirky, okay, that's a good one. That is a good one. I like that. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Gardening came to mind first, because I don't give myself much time to do it, but when I do, it's just very fulfilling. This weekend, I dug up 3 plants and replanted them because I was clearing the side of a wall. Big plants too, and I did it all by myself. Awesome. I didn't think of it, but I did it.
Awesome. Who inspires you the most?
Oh, I got Mark Twain sitting here by my computer. Here's Mark. Mm-hmm. He's actually a bourbon bottle, I think, but but I speak to him, and I have Charles Dickens as well, although his head fell off, so I'm not going to show him.
Okay.
Those are my 3 favorite writers that inspire me, but all writers do.
Great. I love it. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Writing? Is that a superpower? Words?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Words have so much power to them, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a word. Yeah. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
I would adopt the UN resolution on the rights of children, which protect children from many things, including childhood sexual abuse. The United States is the only country that has, the only, you know, big country, whatever, that hasn't signed it.
Wow.
They won't sign it because they feel it takes away the right of the parents.
Wow, that's interesting. Annie, what are you most grateful for today?
My children. Mm-hmm. My health. I am very well now, and I'm very grateful for that.
That's good. And
my cats.
Yes. Awesome.
And my car. I drive a little race car.
Don't drive too fast out there. All right. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned from life so far, Annie?
It gets better.
It gets better.
Yes. If it's, I mean, some people it's already good, I guess, but yeah. If it's bad, it can get better. And you can do things to make it better.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love it. And then lastly, Annie, how do you want to be remembered in history?
As an author.
Yes.
That's what I want on my gravestone.
Yes. And I would even add an author who makes a difference as well, making a huge difference. So that is phenomenal. You know,
the publishing company that published the Ugliest Word is called Impact Driven Publishing. Okay. And they only do books that change the world. That's their motto.
I love it. And yours is certainly doing that. And kudos to you for putting that message out there about incest, surviving it, and everything else. So great job with the questions. You survived it, Annie. Give yourself a round of applause. Folks out there, Annie Marges, if you're looking for a speaker, an author to really kind of tap into and get yourself motivated, if you've gone through any type of childhood trauma, you probably definitely want to reach out to her. Annie, what is the best way for people to reach you if they're trying to connect with you?
They can email me, Annie, A-N-N-I-E, at theugliestword.com.
Yes. So reach out to her, and she can definitely provide a great service to you and your organization as well. So Annie, last piece here. The focus of our podcast is on two things, purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Oh, well, I think finding a deep purpose can give you energy that you didn't have before.
Yes. Yes.
And make you resilient because yes. You're really down, then you find the purpose, and then it gives you energy.
Yes.
It was true for me.
Yes. You're a living example of it. Absolutely. So folks out there, great advice. Annie, I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing your story with us today as well. So let me tell you, folks, if you're someone out there, you're an overcomer, you have an amazing story, we want you to go to TAWatson.com. We want to hear from you. Please subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download it, rate it. Share with your folks on social media. Once again, Annie, thank you very much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And everyone else out there, stay encouraged. Peace.
Yours God truly, bless. Dr. Watson.